Hey, podcast listeners, Fraser here. So you're about to listen to a bonus portion of the most recent interview. And this is something that I will mention later on in the other episode, but this is sort of that bonus section that I was talking about. And we're recording a separate bonus, kind of off-topic conversation with every one of the interviews that I do. And we post that for free on Patreon. And I know it sounds like Patreon, you have to follow, but you don't have to become a paying patron. You just have to be a free member. You just have to follow us on Patreon, and then you will get access to these additional interviews. And what's cool is we have a separate patron-only podcast feed where you can subscribe. You will get these episodes show up automatically in that separate feed, even if you're a free user. So you'll have two separate podcast feeds, this one and the main. Of course, there's plenty of other content that's only available for patrons. And so if you do become a patron, then you'll see all of the additional episodes that you have access to as a patron. All right, so enjoy this bonus content. So I want to shift gears and talk about sort of a experience that you had, which I think a lot of us can only imagine, and that is you were a part of an excursion to explore the Mid-Atlantic Ridge about 4 years ago.
Yes.
Tell me about this research. What happened?
Yes. Yeah, that one of the coolest experiences of my life, Fraser. So I worked at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution in Massachusetts in undergrad, and I helped with a project that was looking at carbon dioxide dissolved in mid-ocean ridge basalt glass. So we've got this mid-Atlantic ridge, and it's, you know, oozing lava onto the seafloor, pillows, pillow lava, pillow basalt, if you've heard of that. And on the outside of this lava, it quenches immediately when it meets the seawater, and it turns into glass. And it freezes all of the chemicals inside it into that glass. So they can't get out, they can't react, which makes it a terrific sample of what the mantle is made out of. So if you want to know how much carbon is in the mantle, you go to the mid-ocean ridge, you get some basalt glass, you crush it up, and you see how much carbon dioxide comes out. For a long time, there was confusion about whether the rocks we had sampled were sort of the right ones. Do they really represent the mantle? So part of the work I did was to help prepare these samples for analysis of the different gases dissolved in the rock. And by looking at the different isotopes of noble gases like argon, you can actually figure out how much evolution or how much processing the magma has undergone on its way to the surface.
But you got a chance to, oh, sorry, continue your story, but I want to definitely talk about your experience in a
definitely, in So we wanted to go out and collect some more. So I was very lucky to be invited on to this cruise. So we departed from Bermuda. I met the boat in Bermuda, and we headed out to the Mid-Atlantic Ridge, about 13 degrees north off the coast of Brazil. And most of the days for the 30-day trip, I was processing samples. So every day, the submarine, Alvin, would go down to the bottom of the ocean with the professors, the lead scientists, and it would bring up pounds, tons of basalt glass. And my job was to sort it and describe it and put it into the buckets. One day, towards the end of the cruise, they opened it up to some of the scientists, some of the more junior scientists on board. And they said, okay, well, we're going to let some of you go down to the bottom of the ocean. And my day came. You know, I was crossing my fingers, but I wasn't holding out hope. You know, it really depends on how much time you have. And I was really lucky that we had enough time. So I got to go down in Alvin. And it was quite the experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what they do.
Describe it. What's it like?
It's crazy. It's so they have you get into this tiny little sub. It's made of a titanium sphere. And that titanium sphere is sort of wrapped in the rest of the submarine. But it's that titanium sphere that's really getting pressurized and protecting the crew. And it's only like 10 feet wide. So it's pretty cramped in there. You might want to fact check me on 10 feet wide, but it's pretty cramped in there. So I remember the morning of my dive, I get into the sub, you climb in from the top, you go down, they seal the hatch above you, and then they attach it to a crane. Well, oh, wait, I got to back up. The cream comes first. Sorry. So Alvin is on this big A-frame crane on the back of the boat, and you get down into it, and then they seal it up, and the A-frame lowers you off the back of the boat and then drops you into the ocean. And it's this whole big complicated procedure. It's very fun to watch, but then you start descending. And it gets dark really quick and cold really quick. So within just the first few minutes, it was pitch black, starting to get cold. And the descent lasted hours, about 2 hours, I think, until we were at the bottom of the ocean, about 3,500 meters. So quite deep, 3.5 kilometers. And we start on the what's called the abyssal plain. It's just like gunk as far as the eye can see. I was amazed. It's sort of like a desert because the sediment is like this pale white gray, and it just goes on as far as the eye can see. We had lights down there, and the seafloor was just deserted. You know, maybe like 20 yards that way, you could see a sponge sticking out of the sediment or like a piece of rock. But most of where you looked was just piles of goo. And that goo is actually from dead organisms and plankton that have been falling there for thousands, tens of thousands of years.
Future oil.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
We saw some weird fish. We saw like one little tiny shark of some kind. But then eventually we got to the mid-ocean ridge. And that's what really got me going. You know, I had learned about mid-ocean ridges and read and seen pictures. But it's different when you're actually there and you see this wall. It was like just a wall of lava, pillow basalts going straight up. And we approached it, and we slowly rose up this wall to look for pillow basalts that were outcropping. So we're looking for maybe like a pillow basalt with a nice, thick, glassy rind that might be a little broken up so that we can get pieces. Alvin has these claws that goes and can get pieces. So I was paired up with a lead scientist, Dr. Dorsey Wanless, and together we looked at the different rocks that were in front of us, and we talked about them and said, oh, you know, that one looks good. That one looks pretty good. Let's go for that one. That one's going to be too hard. And all the while I'm filming, operating the cameras, I'm taking notes. It's a very cool experience.
You want to go back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Badly. It really influenced my trajectory, I think. I really want to do ship-based science. I love the seafloor. I love getting samples from down there. I think it's incredible. I think it's sort of more than space, the final frontier, maybe. Maybe that's heresy on your show, but as we know, the seafloor is so understudied that I just love it. I love being on the boat. I love being at sea.
I mean, it's a similar sentiment that I, you know, when I talk to astronauts and you know, you talk about their time in space and it definitely changes them. The perspective that they get of planet Earth, the sort of the, you know, the knowledge about the work that they're doing. And also when you talk to people who say done a tour in Antarctica, that it just, there's nothing is normal anymore. You're in a completely different world. You're having to sort of, there are a few comforts of home, but mostly you are in this extreme place, completely outside of what the human body was ever evolved to be able to handle. And yet there you are doing this work. And I think as we kind of project forward into us going out into the solar system, that there will eventually be a research station on the moon, there will be a research station on Mars, that there will be people going to and fro and doing this really important scientific work in these places that are completely not for us. I'm sure you get hooked. You're just I've got to go back, you know, back to Mars.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible.